This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the SME Showcase section of our Business Masterclass. Our guest is Robin Wheeler, B Entrepreneur Ring. There we go. Being yourself for a living.
That's right.
Welcome, Robin. Thanks for joining us. And joining and staying with us in studio is Dr. Nishal Kandai. He's from the New Generation Mindset. He's going to be joining us in a panel discussion with Robin. So, Robin, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business and what you do. I found your business exceptionally interesting.
Thanks, Richard. Yeah, I set out to do my ideal thing about 20 years ago. It's actually the 20th anniversary of it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's actually quite a big thing, and I need to make a point of celebrating it more than I have. You know, to be in business for 20 years is no small thing, and so 20 years ago, I kind of went through an epiphany and I realized that I was on track but not fully on track. And I had to do some soul searching and dig deep and work out who I am and what I bring and what the world needs. So a process of looking inwards at myself and then looking outwards at the world and developing my own vision for the future, not just following what other people were telling me. And then set out to do that sooner than I thought was appropriate or fitting. It was kind of like a higher knowledge guided me before I realized I was ready. And I soon after that came to call it being yourself for a living, because that's what I was wanting to do in myself. But I knew that that was what inspired me in the world, and it was what I wanted to help other people do as well. So essentially, that's what I have been doing for 20 years, and what I do, I help people be themselves for a living around the world by being myself for a living around the world. Okay. So that's got different components to it.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about some of those components.
Well, speaking is one of them, and seminars. Okay. So kind of in the educational realm.
Coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yes, coaching I used to do. I do it now as part of my corporate work, but not in really very often in a sort of individual capacity. Mm. And that's something that happens over 20 years, that you kind of spread yourself out and you explore all sorts of different things and you see the role that they've got to play. But the actual business application is one of simplicity. You know, you're constantly refining what you do and bringing it down to its simplest form. That's part of the genius of it. It's part of the functionality of it. So speaking and seminars is one thing. Then I have a corporate product called Fully Booked that I developed, and that's a unique thing where I take companies through a transformation process using my consulting background and strategic advising and training and coaching, and I facilitate that key individuals write a book together, which I then publish as a branding tool. So it's kind of the ideal speaker's follow-up, because when a company says, I loved your talk, now can you implement this? I've got, frankly, an ingenious tool that arose out of all of my explorations of everything, all of the things that I do. I came to invent something unique, and I'm able to use that in the corporate context. And then I write books. I've got a series of books called Insights, Further Insights, Deeper Insights, Truer Insights, Sexier, and the new one that's due out next month is called Bigger Insights. So I've got this, and I've written 10 more. So I'm very much a writer. I'm actually more of an artist than an entrepreneur, I would say.
Okay.
So my struggle has been to sort of follow my creative truth and translate that into a working business all the time.
It's always a challenge to take your passion and then translate it into something that other people are prepared to pay you for.
Yes.
I always use the example. I always say, you know, the person or the lady out there crocheting doilies, well, great, it might be therapeutic for you, but I don't know how many people want to buy doilies anymore.
Yeah, on that journey of getting them to know you, like your doilies, like them a second time, like them a seventh time, and actually buy them from you, is a very long journey. That you talked about resilience earlier, Nishal. For me, a lot of the things that entrepreneurs grapple with come back down to this being yourself for a living idea. Because if you, firstly, are being true to yourself, you will go through those massive disappointments, sure, but you'll come back stronger. Stronger in a wiser way, not a more violent or aggressive way, in a more patient way, in a more humorous way.
Tell me, Robert, you've mentioned some 20 years at this. What would you say is the key or the key single factor that kept your focus online. What was it that brought you to say, I will succeed, there is an end, and I'm going to go at it irrespective of what the challenges are?
I'd say that I was doing the right thing in the first place, you know. Not that I always have felt that. I've gone through very dark times where I've doubted the universe, myself, everything, you know. But those dark times tend to strip away the false things in life. So I would say, and in that, they've been, you know, your valley is what makes your peak what it is, you know, and an entrepreneur is able to embrace opposites without choosing one over the other, which is a higher consciousness. It's a state of understanding that you've got a passive and an active phase, or you've got an up or a down. Mm. But if you're being true to yourself, which to me is actually what the world is charged with at the moment, is people are having to, we're talking about uncertainty. The only certainty you have is yourself.
You. Is you.
So that's the inner journey, which I would cautiously call a spiritual journey, because spiritual means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. But
that's what it is.
It is. Yeah. Who am I? Which is a question you can ask for the rest of your life.
Why am I here?
Why am I here is of service. Yeah. So the one is the purpose. Me. The second is aligning that with being of service. And the third is making that your business. That's the being triangle. Mm. Being you, growing into you, being of service, and making a living out of it. And it's a dynamic state of being. There's no resolution in it. You've got to become comfortable with being uncomfortable and embracing the way that rubs you up the wrong way all the time, you know, and actually use that as a creative fuel. So a simple answer is just do what you really love and be true to that. Be open to growth and constantly change, constantly reevaluate, except that you're going to constantly come back to the same answer.
Okay.
But Robert, you know, listening to you already, I'm inspired. I mean, the books that you've put out, I mean, I run a company, a publishing company.
Okay.
I'm a writer as well.
Okay.
You know, I've been a journalist for more than 20 years.
Right.
So I'm looking to turn it around to being me.
Yes.
Because I feel the artist in me as well, you know. But what you're saying is very sad in one respect, because I've got a 9-year-old who wants to be himself.
Yes.
Yet he has to go to a school. And he consistently tells me, I don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that inner being of him that wants to come out.
Yes.
So that he could be himself.
Yeah.
So why should this generation have to go through what you've gone through to discover your being?
Exactly.
Where has the system failed, and how do we breach it?
Well, look, the system hasn't failed. It has actively and violently torn us from ourselves. There's no failure in it. It's been a strategic move on their part to strip humans of their spirit and their strength.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an absolute fight of life and death proportions for your son's dignity and your dignity as a father to protect who he is. At the same time, we all have to forget who we are to find out who we really are. So it's kind of the human journey to lose our way so that we can find our way back. And no parent can protect his child from that.
Mm-hmm.
So often on the school thing, I say to people, well, on the one hand, school isn't really compulsory. You could drop it. But now at what price would that come? Maybe it's better to keep it in the mix and work as an entrepreneur. Mix it into, make it a quarter
but
of your
you
life.
See, a lot of people don't know that.
They've never
don't
even
know
thought
that
of it.
Because, again, the continuum is such that you go to school, varsity, you know, get a degree,
yes,
get a job, you know, get married, buy a house, nice car, live your life, and hopefully a pension will take care of you.
But
that's it.
That's betrayed us, you see. So everyone's looking around and they realize, well, a degree doesn't guarantee you anything. Conforming doesn't, a job
or
doesn't
a
guarantee
safe job.
I heard recently somebody that I'm good friends with used the words, he said, and he has children slightly older than mine, and he said, I wanted my children to have a B dot. And I looked at him and then I realized what he was referring to, and that was simply a degree of some sort. And He was very firm that his children needed to have the B dot to make sure that they would be able to succeed in life.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, that was a father with expectations, and he was very successful. I mean, his children have gone on to have masters and they're very well educated. But what you're telling me is, hold on a second, is that really the answer? I guess not.
Of course, well, not the answer.
I'm grateful for my 2 degrees. I'm grateful for my father who paid for them, but I don't define myself by them, and it's me that uses them to self-actualize, you know. Mm. And I think that's the distinction. It's not that one thing may be right or wrong, but that the person making the choices is conscious. And to me, an entrepreneur in the new wave of things is a conscious person, someone who has woken up to the realities of life, has explored themselves deeply, so they are on that journey of awakening to who they are, and has a vision for the future where things are better through their service to the world, which again comes back to purpose and the spiritual meaning in life. And then to me, business is a very simple thing, actually. You know, I'm not a business expert, so I don't have a financial background or an operational background. So my business principles are really just simple things, which is, you know, bring in money and use less than that to run your business, and invest what's left back into the business wisely, and enjoy your life. You know, be happy in what you're doing.
Be content.
Put your lifestyle first. Mm. You know, and a lot of it is essentially about embracing the very uncertain nature of life, which is now manifest. I mean, when my father became an accountant, life was fairly certain, you know.
Predictable
careers, jobs, governments, structures, all of those things you could lean on them as assumptions. All of those assumptions have now been put in question, which is a tremendously disruptive experience, potentially soul-destroying in the short term. Mm. But in the long term, the most thrilling time to be alive, if your son is, he's got it in him.
Yeah, he wants,
it's already there, you know.
He wants to start his own business. He's nine years old, and I'm saying, in fact, I could pay any fee for him to go to a school that when he graduates, he would have a registered, you know, business doing things, and serving a particular purpose.
Well, what I found most amazing fairly recently, my daughter had one of these market days at school, and we helped her do something. She had something in mind, and we helped on the execution. So, yes, mom and dad were involved. But the sad thing was that I figured out, and she had a really good business idea, which had a very low input cost and a very high revenue generator. And she ran this little concept for, I think it was about 20-25 minutes, and was sold out within 25 minutes. Hmm. And then I helped her run the numbers, because we had to kind of, the whole business thing was, you know, help them run the numbers, make sure that they understood. And then I stepped back and I worked out that my daughter in half an hour made more money than I did in an hour if I billed my time. And I'm a qualified CA, and I went, what's wrong with this picture? My 12-year-old makes more money than I do on a time basis. Look, ability to sustain this business 8 hours a day, you know, let's get practical. But it was a real eye-opener for me to say she could make more money trading items with her schoolmates on a per-hour, you know, per half-hour basis than I could if I sold my time as a qualified CA with many years of experience to clients for that half-hour. And it was like...
But that's telling
because... Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm in the wrong business.
We need to learn from our kids because they are the future, we're the past. Mm. And that's quite a nice little anecdote. A lot of things also that happen are... I say to often with coaching... wherever I've done it in the past, people often come to me for coaching, and then we work, I hear where they're at, help them identify where they're going, and then after that whole cycle of drawing a picture of where they need to be, they go back to their comfort zone and their yes buts. And then I say to them, do you have a child? What do you want for that child? And then they have no doubt about it. Mm. Because the love is strong and clear, and it's not clouded by their own fears and doubts. And then I say to them, whatever you want for your child, you must do for you. And in that, you will open that door for your child. Because if you go, you can make all the money in the world and put your child through all the best universities, but you will still not have opened that spiritual door in your ancestry, in your heritage, and your child will still have to go and do that himself. Mm. So do for yourself what you really want for your child. Face those fears, go through those barriers, and then an entrepreneur to me is somebody who's embraced the opposites in life. So on the one hand, you've remained a child. You're essentially very innocent and simple. You're very creative. You're naive. And you retain that simplicity. Otherwise, you would talk yourself out of it. On the other hand, you have grown up more than most people because you've faced all the hardships. You're not living in a delusionary life. You are an adult. And it's that balance of opposites.
I'm thinking about Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg has this child look, yet we know what he's doing. You know, he's building a multimedia empire. Elon Musk is also has this child sort of face, you know, with him. But we know what he's doing. He's looking to take people into outer space. But let me just quote from your book, Robin.
Because I think you talk
about these kinds of people who, I think I'm part of them. I'm among those people who need to open possibilities, you know, for their children. But I think this applies to every aspect of our life. Postponing. This is found in Deeper Insights. Okay. Just briefly. Robin says, are you postponing your life? Do you tell yourself that you have plenty of time to do all you want to without knowing what that is? Are you using logic to override immediacy? Logic is a problem. It does not overlap with presence. You are either here now or living in your head. If you are thinking, you are missing. If you are being, you will move with the moment. You will not postpone. Powerful.
Thank you. Well, again, it's the spiritual thing because humanity is forced now to live in the now. All the great mystics told us that was what we should do. But now we have no choice. The world we're living so at such an accelerated pace with cell phones and overstimulation that the only way you can actually cope with overstimulation is mindfulness. And mindfulness is where your presence, your higher presence, is your primary residence in your consciousness, and all the things that happen around you you're able to handle in your stride. And again, to me, an entrepreneur is somebody who's able to do that. And I mean, the leadership platform thing, again, a true leader is somebody who's able to be in the present. Because only in the present can you do something new. If you're thinking, your thinking can only process what it already knows. And you're inherently stuck in a box. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to unbias yourself. That's what I consistently tell myself.
Yes.
I have to unbias myself.
Which means just be in the present. Because then a gap opens up. And instead of reacting, you're able to respond, which is to do something new with the moment. And that's about allowing a gap to be there where you don't knee-jerk into it, and then something new comes through, which is from a higher place, and it's creative, it's innovative, and it's leadership.
I often think, though, that part of the challenge in life is that I refer to it as the lenses of life. We have these colored lenses that we've allowed to, let's call it, wear in front of our eyes, the way we perceive and decide on things and place a value on things and evaluate things.
The filters
of life. And so what happens is we enter into an environment and we put up our filters and we start listening to conversations with the filters on. You know, I often say to people, you know, we're going into a bit of a brainstorming session. Filters off. They look at me and they say, what do you mean filters off? I said, stop judging before you've even heard what's going to be said. Because, I mean, somebody opens their mouth and I watch people in the room and I watch their expressions and I think, you're already judging that. They're not even finished with their construct and their thought process and they're already being judged. And I think that's such a natural... Let's call it the natural person. Is we're constantly evaluating, judging, assessing, and I think if you want to be in that mindful state where you can actually just, let's call it, absorb for a period of time, you have to kind of flick the trip switch that says, you know, okay, I'm going to judge on this issue, I'm going to evaluate, I'm going to, you know, and you just kind of go, I'm just going to leave the. I'm going to absorb and listen. I mean, we always say in the good old saying with kids is always, you know, two ears, one mouth. Use them in that proportion. But we're so quick. I mean, how often have we sat in businesses and in business meetings and watched something happening, you know, presentation, whatever, and you realize that the people in the room aren't in the moment.
Present at all.
And they're not present because they're busy thinking of the reasons why this isn't going to work or what they want to ask questions about. I mean, I've seen that so many times. And you think to yourself, are you listening to what's being said or are you just thinking of your response? And I think particularly in business, we're so quick to say, well, I'm worrying about what my response is going to be to the situation because that's how I'm judged.
Yes.
So I start reacting and responding and getting ready to react. I often wonder what would happen if you changed what you were saying halfway through a sentence and changed direction totally, what people would then say. Because do they only listen to the first part of the sentence or do they listen to the whole thing? Because in my experience, often they only listen to the first few words and they're already now formulating responses.
Or tuning out.
Yeah. They tune out, and the reason they tune out.
They've tuned out already.
They've already got their response ready to what you asked about or stipulated or stated, and so now they've got their response ready to whack back and say, no, well, that's why this is going to play or that's going to play.
But in reality, that's the hardest part of how we interact with one another because
it's listening skills.
As soon as you're saying something, I'm thinking response. Mm. We never take that time to just step back and say, okay, I'm just going to get it through. Tell me what you want to tell me. Non-response is still a response.
The question for you, your talks and your seminars, at what level or age do you usually target? The reason I ask is, are you going to at least the school level, 16, 15-year-old, where you could actually address one's purpose of life at that stage before they go into university to study medicine when they realize actually it's not the medical field that I want to be in,
but
be an artist. So where do you focus and are you taking it to school level?
Very much school level. Mm-hmm. I'd say, look, any age, your 9-year-old already knows. Yeah, the trick is not to...
He doesn't want to be there.
And that's it's a simple bottom line. Yeah. But I'd say from sort of 16 years old to 166, there's no limit to it.
Correct,
because it doesn't matter what age you're at. We're all going through the same awakening process, which is I can't conform anymore. I need to do what I really want to do. Since I'm going to risk doing that, I might as well go all the way. Since I've now taken that step, I've got no choice but to go all the way. Hey, but this is what I wanted all along. So you kind of...
But we've always been there though, Robin. I mean, I'm fascinated by the whole Greek philosophy, civilization and everything. We've been there. Isn't that how the Aristotles of the world could imagine the world and discover things? Because they were there.
It's nothing new. That's the irony of it. It's nothing new. Yeah. All of this, it's all in all the great books. All the great mystics have been saying the same thing. It's really simple. As an infant, before you're... Because what Richard was talking about just now is a struggle with the mind. The mind and the self. What you were talking about is suspending the self, suspending the ego and allowing things to be. Now, in the slot before we came on for this segment, they were talking about female leadership and female presence in business. To me, it's more about the presence of the feminine than about women per se. Because getting women into business is a political step to take. And obviously, from a social point of view, it's an inequality that needs to be addressed. But higher is this thing of that business has been essentially a masculine thing in a masculine
environment.
And we all need to understand the feminine side of ourselves and our well-being, which is about suspending the protagonist and just accepting and allowing the new to happen. Your very being is a more feminine thing where you just allow. And that femininity is a higher intelligence, which we all need to remain in touch with as we go along,
Correct.
So it's about getting in tune with your feelings behind your thinking and your higher being behind that and being in tune with your whole being, as you said, Ellis. It's the whole you that needs to be there. Mm. And when your thinking is required, you use it like you use your cell phone or you drive your car, but you still need to know who you are so that you know where you're going and what you're creating. So it's about being more conscious, and in that you'll have a much healthier society on all levels.
So just one final question from my side.
I talk too much.
You spoke about the first 20 years. What does the next decade look like?
I like all of your questions. I've got, basically, I'm taking, I want to see the world. Okay. I've already seen quite a bit of it, but yes. I love traveling and I love writing when I'm traveling. So I want to go around the whole world and share this with people and help people be themselves for a living. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's my speaking and teaching, my books and my corporate work, and build those three pillars into a global business that really helps everyone make the shift and have all my dreams come true along the way. You know? Mm.
So are you a Deepak Chopra of entrepreneurship?
I'll just keep silent.
Let me say why I'm asking that. Because I must say you are a rare breed. And I think it's what we're talking about here is something we've never really addressed. Because, again, we have to be PC, politically correct. But what I'm finding is that there's a spiritual side to everything.
Yes.
Whether it's entrepreneurship or whatever, being a parent. We always look for ways to silence that so that we can fit in part of what everyone's doing.
I think the problem is that the system is conditioned to having a cause and effect type of explanation for everything. So, you know, saying, I have a sense of being, a sense of wholeness. Well, what exactly is that?
It's too high order.
It's like, whoa, okay, hold on. This is like, you know, the sounds of this Twilight Zone start playing here. Like, that's too deep. We just want to quickly, you know, and sorry, probably the accountants in us, you know, we just want to get that down in debits and credits. So let's make a list. Let's get it all to flow nicely and make sure that it works nicely and, you know, put it in bullet form and explain it nicely. And the
PowerPoint.
Reality is, if it doesn't fit on a PowerPoint presentation, it doesn't belong in the boardroom.
Yeah.
You know, and these conversations are difficult. I mean, Robin, just in closing, I mean, what is the one thing that you've learned in the 20 years? If I was to say to you, pick the one profound truth that you wish you'd known maybe 20 years ago that you've now come to understand and experience, and what would that be that you would leave with listeners? What is that, let's call it the nugget of gold?
In fact, I think before he answers that, I think we could keep him for another half hour if he's available.
Okay.
We've got that slot now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you are amenable, we can talk about this. It will just move into our transformation segment.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about transformation.
Well, the only thing that I'm better at than uncertainty is transformation, so that would make sense.
Okay.
Answer your two things, I'm the Robin Wheeler of whatever else people want to compare me to. So in due course, everyone will be using that term. And the thing I've learned, I'd say most sort of immediate in my life, is that if you're a musician, which is another thing that I've explored, and it's my big passion is music, so I'm essentially a musician as well. And if you look at my book covers, they're like album covers, and it's right through all my work. One of the things with being a musician is that the music's already out there on the sort of in the ether, you know, and you don't come up with it, you get it down. So your job is to tune in to
the frequency
of it. So my lesson at the moment that I'm learning the most, and that I've could say 20 years later, is that it's all already here. It's all already in the present. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to. Sure, you hustle, but you do it from a place of fun, because it's all already right here, right now. And if you proceed with that knowing, it changes your existential relationship with your life, and you can enjoy it, and you can enjoy the manifestations, you can enjoy the struggles, and we bring a whole different spiritual experience to our lives. So it's all already here. Just be yourself for a living.
Richard, I'm voting for this podcast as the podcast of the year.
Podcast of the year. Okay, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. Great.
This is amazing.
Yeah, good stuff.
This is amazing.
So, I guessed...
The music is already here.
The music is already here.
That.
Yeah. Robin, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate
Thanks,
it. We're going to continue this conversation in our transformation platform up next. If you want to join our live SME audience, drop Kevin an email, kevin@leadershipplatform, that's double P in the middle, .com. Next up, the transformation platform.
This is CliffCentral.com.